If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program on this second day of May 2024, the Australian edition of TNT Radio. It is good to have you with us. For the record, by the way, there are some days, you know, when there's a national day of something. Today's one of those days where there are so many national days, it's got beyond a joke. But I guess when you've only got 365 days and 1,000 causes and hobby horses, some day is going to be log jammed, right? Well, today's a log jammer. In the United States, it's National Day of Prayer, National Life Insurance Day, National Truffle Day, World Tuna Day, and International Harry Potter Day. And on International Harry Potter Day, I can tell you that the spoilt brat star of the show, Daniel Radcliffe, is today doing what he's been doing consistently for the past 3 years, which is slamming creator J.K. Rowling over her views on trans women. Now, if it weren't for the author, J.K. Rowling, thankless little Daniel would be a struggling theatre actor. But he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, so he was and always will be an entitled prat. Thank you, Daniel. In this edition, how is it that only a few weeks since Australia witnessed its first declared act of terror since the Lindt Cafe siege, how is it that we're not talking about radical Islam and what government and authorities are doing to prevent further attacks? You heard that previous news bulletin. You had Ron DeSantis, you had Donald Trump talking about importing feuds and terror into the country. America is talking about it, and I don't think in the last 3 weeks they've had an act of terror on their soil, but Australia has, and we're not talking about it. We're not talking about the imams that get on the dark web and convince youth in places like Sydney and Melbourne how to carry out terror attacks. We're not talking about this. Well, this is what happens, you see, when the government's communist censor decides to steal the headlines. They step in, they decide to ban crucial violent events on social media and therefore take away our ability to keep talking about what we see. That's how it works. That is the danger of censorship. More shortly on the program. Australia's libertarian champion, John Ruddick, is on deck for us today. We'll be talking about this weekend's national rally to protect our freedom of speech, all connected, of course, to this outrageous censorship now emanating from the plush offices of the 164-staff-strong e-safety commissioner. We'll discuss Donald Trump's latest swipe at dangerous immigration policies around the world, the pro-terror flag that turned up, I think it was at the Queensland University, and no one did a thing about it. No wonder we're sitting ducks in this country. And the Labor government's last big push to buy votes at this month's federal budget. John Ruddick coming up very shortly on the program. Now, we'll be turning our attention into or onto the Middle East again today and getting the latest from our Middle Eastern expert, Shane Healy. Will this ceasefire deal, which is on the table of both sides at the moment, be agreed to? Now, it is looking probable. It was possible in the early stages. It is looking probable. But Benjamin Netanyahu is the only one seeming to do and take action to harm the ceasefire deal. We'll unpack all of that with Shane Healy. And next hour on the show, Nathan Livingston, founder of Milk Bar TV, discusses his battle against government tyranny and against censorship. And have a guess who he's upset. Have a guess who he's got offside. The dreaded communist unit, the e-safety commissioner. There's that word again. We've got all of that, plus the reason why lockdown should never be contemplated by any nation again, the testimony presented to a congressional inquiry by a freedom-loving politician from California. You'll love to hear what he has to say. And this is California, mind you, where you'll find some of the great lockdown lovers of the US. And what Canadian free speech advocate Billboard Chris is up to in Melbourne this week. He's moved away from the university campus and he's turned up at one of the most high-profile politicians' office in Victoria. We'll play some video for you to see what he's up to. And don't forget, we've got our talkback lines open to one and all from now through the course of the program. You too can be part of the conversation, all right? You can call in from the United States or Canada on 1-888-201-6425. You can call in from the UK, 033-0024-1026. Or from Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. They are our talkback numbers, and you're with Chris Smith. We're broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network. This is TNT Radio.
Talk that matters.
For once, we just need to do what's best for this damn country and not what's best for the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I want to show you today what happens when government censorship sticks its nose into speech or vision. They're the same, speech or vision, that would normally prompt serious discussion in a Western democratic society. Now, remember the footage of the Christian bishop from Wakeley in Sydney being stabbed by this 16-year-old terrorist. He is now charged. They are allegations. The police declared it as an act of terrorism only a few hours after it occurred. And the evidence shows what he said as the knife was being wielded. Among other things, he used the term Allah Akbar, God is good, Muhammad is good, a classic case of violent Islamic extremism in a country that never had this kind of problem until the late 70s, when we imported Middle Eastern people, some of whom had a history of extremist views on Islam. But previous governments failed to vet these people, and that is a story that probably is best explained for another day. And since then, more have arrived, and the internet is aiding hateful imams who found targets in the youth of Australia looking for a cause. That too is a story for another day and a serious problem. But why aren't we talking about these issues? Why aren't we talking about why? Why aren't we talking about loud imams who try and twist the minds of young people in Australia? Why aren't we talking about how they get access to those individuals and how those individuals get access to them? Why aren't we having protests? Why aren't there television shows focused on this subject? Why aren't there experts shouting from the rooftops about how many more planned attacks might occur? Well, you know why? Because our eSafety Commissioner has censored the footage. Not only has the government elimination of this partly shocking video become the debating point, censorship itself, it's become the emphasis, not the emphasis on what occurred in the video. Even the target of that terror attack, Bishop Emmanuel, he knows the importance of keeping these news events in front of our eyes.
I stand for that freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Every human has the right to the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Every human being, no matter who that is, everyone has the right.
It's interesting. He made that statement when he first returned to the church, and it was following a statement he made about being able to see this video. This was what he termed access to freedom of speech. This is why censorship is so bad. This is why tens of thousands of Australians should get out to nationwide rallies on Sunday to protest against the demolition of what we can say, of what we can see. Because witnessing shocking events, no matter how shocking they might be, ignites debate and it ignites impetus for change. Now, on the other hand, in the United States, presidential hopeful Donald Trump has no problem at the moment emphasizing what Australians should be talking about. Trump claims that Europe and London have opened their doors to jihad and has rightly pledged not to let the same thing happen in the US. For the record, that horse may have well and truly bolted, but that too is a story for another day. But if politicians think that this is last decade's issue, that it came and left with 9/11, well, they are dead wrong, totally wrong. Imported terrorists are active again. because Western countries have been too blasé about who they've allowed into their nations. And we know what impact the Gaza war is having on behaviour here. The imported warring sides are finding voice in their adopted countries. In the United States, you heard what Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis said in that news bulletin. They were both concerned about Gazans being imported and therefore importing the same conflicts and the same possibility and likelihood of terror. The former president said the British culture had been eroded by tolerance of pro-Palestinian protesters in London and Paris. Protesters who sometimes carry flags of terror, not just Palestinian flags. Speaking at a rally in Wisconsin overnight, Trump took aim at protesters who have staged 2 weeks of demonstrations on U.S. university campuses.
We've seen what happened when Europe opened their doors to jihad. Look at Paris. Look at London. They're no longer recognizable. And I'm going to get myself into a lot of trouble with the folks in Paris and the folks in London. But you know what? That's the fact. They are no longer recognizable. And we can't let that happen to our country. We have incredible culture, tradition. Nothing wrong with their culture, their tradition. We can't let that happen here. And I'll never let it happen to the United States of America.
They haven't had a terror act occur on their soil in the last 3 weeks. Australia has. But are our leaders talking about the prospect of this? No. Not in Australia, but in the United States. And there's another reason fearful Americans will vote for Trump. It's because he's saying this, because they fear the same thing. They have every right to be fearful because out of the war in Gaza, the pro-Palestinian protests have bordered on rallies for Hamas. Let's call a spade a shovel here. It has bordered on anti-Semitic and pro-Hamas rallies and the use of terrorism to make a political point. Because if you support Hamas, that's what you agree with. And Americans have been watching footage of police in New York and also in LA trying to break up protests at Columbia University and UCLA. Now, I guess if the same violent clashes were recorded on university campuses in Australia, well, what would happen? The e-safety commissioner would remove the footage, wouldn't she? She'd take it off all social media, would she? Or does it depend on who the culprits are? The vision of protest violence has not been removed in the United States, and Trump is urging police to, quote, vanquish the radicals and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn. Now, that's what open and freely broadcast footage, albeit violent footage, leads to. It leads to open and free debate about the issue in question. But you see, erasing violent news footage is rarely attempted in the United States because they have the overriding First Amendment mentality, a full and sincere appreciation for their rights for free speech. And ironically, it's an American, Julie Inman Grant, who's now ruling with an iron fist and taking down moderately violent footage that may have focused our attention on radical Islam. The further irony is, she would not be permitted to get away with her pro-censorship tactics if she was the e-safety commissioner in the United States. She would be quickly put in her place. That's the further irony. This is TNT Radio.
TNT's State of the Nation.
How are Mr. and Mrs. Kelly right now?
Well, they're overjoyed. I will tell you, you know, they're exhausted. They're just, can you just imagine, right? They're exhausted. Let me start out by first of all, you know, thanking TNT because you provided a critical platform for us to be able to get Mr. Kelly's story out there. And with your vast, viewer and listenership, it really helped. So I think you all need to pat yourselves on the back. Just part of the team of truth, as I say it, the truth tellers that managed to put significant pressure on the county prosecutor, George Silva and Kimberly Hunley and Michael Jetty to close up this case.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hey, good to have your company. You know, it makes us wonder what is being used as the circumstances for having things censored in Australia. And I made the point. You wonder whether it's political. You wonder whether that the government narrative is, we don't want to highlight Islamic extremism and the violence that sometimes ensues, because we have a hell of a big electorate in southern Sydney, another one in southwestern Sydney that is Labor-held. We don't want to highlight something that may be uncomfortable or uneasy for those Labor supporters. So all of a sudden, the eSafety Commissioner gets rid of evidence, video, that occurs of that nature. I think it's a reasonable question to ask. As a matter of fact, Lozzie, on our chat box on tntradio.live, Lozzie says, Chris, do you know what the pastor was revealing? This is the bishop. Child trafficking and pedophilia. That's why the government wants to censor what he was speaking about. These were very, very definitive subjects that Bishop Emmanuel canvassed on a regular basis in that chapel. I'm just putting it out there because at the end of the day, when the government decides on what we can say and what we can see, these are the not so transparent conspiracies that come to mind. And you just wouldn't put it past any government of any sort, to try and look after their own voters and therefore look after their own power. Let's go to the champion of liberty in New South Wales, the leader of the New South Wales Libertarian Party, the Honourable John Ruddick, MLC. John Ruddick, welcome back to TNT.
Good afternoon, Chris. Now, I apologise, I'm only joining you via audio today. I actually had someone in my office yesterday for 3 hours setting up the greatest fandangled new system, and it's failed to work on our first attempt, so I apologise.
That is usually the way it works, mate. Don't worry. Yeah, we're used to this. This sometimes happens.
I was trying to make it look good for the Christmas show, trying to make it more professional every week, but but we'll come back bigger and better next week.
Okay, that's all good. Now, Donald Trump's hush money trial continues. He's been whacked with a contempt of court fine as well. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. That's not a surprise. Is there a correlation, though, between the spike in headlines about Trump's legal battles at the moment and his latest polling, do you think?
Oh, I think there is a very direct correlation, and I think it's completely not causation and correlation are not always the same thing, but they often are. Now, what happened is in August 2022, fair while ago, we wake up and Donald Trump's home has been raided by, 50 FBI agents.
In Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. Over nothing. Over taking a few documents home. Now, they over-classify everything. Now, I gave Hillary Clinton a pass when all that stupid classified documents, they went on and on. There's many reasons to attack Hillary Clinton. There's many reasons to attack Joe Biden. But it's these stupid classified documents, it's just it's a trap that people get stuck in. And so they, you know, they give Hillary a break on it, and they give Joe Biden a break. Of course, they've got to haul Trump before court. So they've had about six, since then, there's been about six legal actions against the great Donald Trump. And surprise, surprise, they all come to a head in the middle of the presidential election campaign. Okay, so Trump can't be out there campaigning. He's going to be stuck in a courtroom. Now, there, yes, in answer to your question, there is a direct correlation between the more it's in the headlines about these unbelievable beat-up legal charges, all made up, and Trump's polling. Now, what had actually happened is Trump, by about January this year, he was ahead of Biden by about 3 or 4 points. Then Biden gave his State of the Union speech, and he somehow got through a whole hour with only minor stuff-ups. There was about a dozen stuff-ups, but there was no real massive clangor. And the Democrats sort of breathed a sigh of relief that, you know, their great leader can just get through an hour's speech without you know, causing a disaster. And so Biden actually had about two good months in the polls since that State of the Union. But then a week ago, Trump's on TV all day, every day, about the Stormy Daniels matter. Which the Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Justice, looked into this matter, and they're highly corrupt, that hate Donald Trump, but they said, no, there's nothing here. But then, you know, some corrupt prosecutor in New York has said, well, we're going to take up this matter. And it's making middle America, there's still a little bit of undecided America, and those undecided people are saying, gee, you know, we don't want to live in a country, you know, where one side of politics is trying to arrest the front runner of the other party on bogus charges. And so there was a CNN poll the other day out, Chris. It's showing Trump's ahead by a mile. And it's getting it's even better when RFK is in the race. It's better in the swing states. So, yes, let's hope they put him in jail.
Well, I wonder whether it's the chicken or the egg. I understand your argument. The more that we see him in trouble, the more it reflects positively for him in the polls. But does it work the other way? The more that he's doing well in the polls, the more that the Democrats try and weaponize the legal system to go and get him.
Oh, well, yes, it is a bit of both. I mean, these people, they can't defeat Donald Trump on his record. Now, also in that CNN poll the other day, they asked people, do you consider the Trump presidency to be a success? You know, it finished 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago almost. And like about 60% of Americans say, yeah, I look back at that as a better, more successful than it is now. And 24% of Democrat voters said, yeah, I think the Trump presidency was a success. Now, only 32% of Americans say the Biden presidency has been a success. So, you know, it's they can't beat him. You know, the fair way. They can't have a policy debate with him, so they have to try and arrest him, okay, to get Joe up. Now, of course, if Joe gets elected, and I still think it's 50-50. I just don't put anything past these people. They are total fanatics. They're worried about Trump getting re-elected because then Trump's going to turn the Department of Justice back on them. Okay, so that's why Obama and everyone's absolutely petrified of the return of Trump, Trump the sequel. So, you know, I still think it's 50-50. Now, if Biden does win, which he might, to coin toss in my view, the guy's struggling. Yes, it is, Chris, physically, mentally. That means Kamala Harris, I reckon, if Biden wins, there's a better than 50-50 chance that Kamala Harris will end up being the leader of the free world. Now, God help us all at that point.
Yeah, that's well said. Now, a terrorist flag has been flown at the University of Queensland yesterday, as reported in The Australian. I always see this sort of stuff, and I wondered to myself, why aren't we toughening up? It's one thing to be a Palestinian sympathiser. It's one thing to fly the Palestinian flag. But when you start supporting acts of terror by flying terrorist flags, that's crossing the line, isn't it?
Well, look, it's all absolutely mind-boggling. This unbelievable anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, you know, has been around for 4,000 years. It changes shape all the time, but very sadly, it keeps coming back. And it comes back in different forms, but gee, you see what's happening in the United States now. Now, the protests in Australia, thankfully, have been pretty modest compared to what we're seeing in Columbia University and other places. And, you know, it looked like they were going to sort of clean it all up in America a day or two ago, but they're back out in the street once again. I mean, this issue fires people up in a very, very, very big way. So, now look, I believe if somebody owns a house and they want to put a flag up, a flagpole in their front yard, and they want to fly whatever flag they want to fly, let them do it. Now, if it's a swastika or something else, they're not going to be real popular with the neighbours. They might get a brick through their window in the middle of the night. But if they want to be dumb enough to put that up, now I think what's happened up with this this university is that, these little university kids, these sort of semi-terrorists, are, you know, vandalising public property, you know, and abusing property that they don't own. So what they're doing is very, very much the wrong thing. But it's, you know, it seems to be getting worse, Chris. It seems to be getting worse, what's happening here. It's just making people go completely mental. It's sort of like 4 years ago we had the George Floyd thing and the American streets erupted. Now this is different, probably very similar people, but they're out there, you know, absolutely going feral. It seems to happen every presidential election year. There's some issue that makes the feral left go absolutely feral.
Yeah, same people, different T-shirts, maybe. I've got to take a break. Yeah. I've got to get some news, and I'll come back with you shortly. John Ruddick, MLC, the Libertarian Warrior of New South Wales. We'll get back to him in just a second on TNT.
Newsflash! Newsflash, newsflash, newsflash,
newsflash. Now.
Come on, let's go!
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. US President Joe Biden's plan to resettle Palestinians from Gaza in the United States has lit a match among Republicans.
Your towns and villages will now be accepting people from Gaza.
Dozens of Western tanks and armoured vehicles captured by Russian troops in Ukraine have gone on display in Moscow. And the UK has started detaining migrants in preparation for them to be removed from the country under the government's new immigration policy.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction,
misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
It sure is. Now, I always invite our viewers and listeners to be part of the conversation. Our good friend Glenn the Truckie wants to be part of the conversation right now. Go ahead, Glenn. John Ruddick is listening too.
Hey, John. Hey, Chris.
Great, Glenn.
Just a quick one. Quick one, mate. You were saying before about we don't talk about the Islamic problem in Australia and you put it on the E-Commissioner. It's also got to be put on the map. Because the media is gagging everything. And as far as universities in Australia, the two organisers of the Sydney University sitting, or what they want to call it, said on Monday the ABC that they back come up unconditionally.
Gee, I'm having problems picking up everything you're saying, Glenn. I'm having big problems. I don't know whether you're on a speakerphone or whether you're not near a phone. Can you just reiterate what you just said for me?
Yep. Hang on, mate. Is that better, mate? Is that better?
Oh, vaguely, yeah, a little bit better. Go on.
How's that, mate?
Oh, that's much better. Now we can hear you.
Okay, what I was saying was not only the E-Commissioner, who is an active member of the World Economic Forum, and that's wasted on a lot of Australians.
Yeah.
The media, mate.
Now we've lost him. I think the connection was, John, that Glenn was making the point that here we have someone connected to the WEF, and they have, you know, global global aims that dictate that certain things cannot be discussed and other things can. And as I said at the start of the program, this is what happens when you've got public servants and or governments selecting what we say, selecting what we see. It goes along the lines of what they select as the narrative that suits their philosophies, right?
Well, the good news is there's a little thing out there called the internet and TNT radio and other good outlets, but the internet takes so much power away from the corporate media, and this is why it terrifies them, and this is why they want their mates in the government to come down and try and censor the internet. Now, it's a fool's errand to try and censor the internet. Okay, they can try, but they're just going to go down in history as the baddies. Okay, because there's so many ways to get around when the government tries to block a site. You know, there's VPNs and other things. So yeah. it's all a waste of time. And these people in the corporate media cheering on the censorship, they truly are the worst. Journalists, more than anything else, are meant to be fierce truth fighters, truth seekers. They're meant to be speaking truth to power, but they're just trying to protect what a good thing that they've got. But every year, the power of the corporate media erodes. And that is a good thing because social media, you know, there's a million different opinions out there, Chris, and I'm sure a lot of it is misinformation and disinformation. But the best way to combat misinformation is for proper information to get out there. We'll have a battle of ideas, and with time, the truth will prevail. If everybody gets to have their say.
Correct. And if you think that what you hear or see on the internet is truthful, in its entirety, you are a fool. And I don't think the majority think that way. And so therefore, when you take it in that form, that is the context of people being aware that they're being hoodwinked by misinformation and disinformation. I hate those terms, by the way. It means that you don't need to meddle. You don't need to censor. You don't need to interrupt. But all of a sudden, we've got an e-safety commissioner who thinks she should, which brings me to the rally for freedom of speech against censorship and digital IDs. These rallies are happening across the nation this Sunday. You'll be there, no doubt.
I'll be there in Sydney at the Domain opposite the Art Gallery. It starts at midday. I'll be having a few words to say. Now, I hear it's going to be raining, Chris.
But yeah,
the freedom fighters are going to... Rain ain't going to stop us, okay? Okay, because this issue is too important. If we all get soaked, so be it. We're going to be there. Now, this rally is mainly about the digital ID. And I could walk down Martin Place in 5 minutes' time and I could ask 100 people, have you heard about the digital ID? And I'd say 1 in 10 would have heard of it. All the good people, all the people that listen to TNT. But most people have got no idea. Now, this thing's coming in. It got through the Senate. The Liberal Party supporting it, okay, as usual, the old duopoly. And I think it even originated out of the silly Liberal Party. Now, what this is going to do, it's going to treat all Australian citizens like cattle, where the farmer gets a brand and he puts a number on his cattle. Okay, we're all going to be given a number or whatever it is, and they're going to say it's not compulsory. Okay, well, it's going to be not compulsory like the vaccines weren't compulsory. Okay, you're not going to be able to access internet banking. You're not going to be able to apply for a home loan or a credit card or anything. And now, they're going to say, well, look, it's just going to be so convenient. You won't have to show your ID. You just got to, your passport, your driver's license. You just got to show your digital ID. And everyone will think, oh, this is just wonderful. This is just fabulous. But what in fact they are doing, Chris, is we are giving the government the power to know everything about all citizens financially. And at first I'll say, oh, well, who cares? You know, the government won't turn it against us. But then what will happen is it might be in 10 years, might be in 20 years, there'll be another crisis. There'll be another war on terror or COVID mania. There'll be something. We might have 3 really hot summers. Okay, and I'll say, oh, my God, this is definitely the global boiling has arrived. Okay, might just be like naturally we just have a weirdly 3 hot summers. And I'll say, oh, it's here. And then I'll say, we've got such a crisis, such an unprecedented crisis, we need the government to save us, that we're bringing in a Chinese-style social crediting system. We know what you spend your money on. If you spend your money on too much carbon-intensive stuff, kick up the bum for you. Okay, and that's what this thing, this digital ID, has got. It's a turnkey operation for the government to be a big brother, and we've got to resist it. But it's going to become the law soon, Chris. So the only way we can change it is if we, you know, vote for libertarians and other good parties at the next election.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, now I noticed that you're in conversation with Craig Kelly from One Nation. When I think about the minor parties like One Nation and the Libertarian Party, as you are the leader of in New South Wales, what is the difference between those two parties? For those who are looking away from the major parties at next year's federal election, early 2025?
Okay, so all around the English-speaking world, there is this trend towards or away from the major traditional parties.
Yeah.
We're seeing it in the United States right now, where you've got Robert Kennedy on 16%, but not only that, you've got the Greens on about 4%. You've got another guy who's a crazy lefty, Cornel West. He's on about 3%. That's over 20%. That's over 1 in 5 Americans, almost 1 in 4 Americans, are saying, I'm not voting Republican or Democrat. Now, our good friend Nigel Farage is going to go very, very well at the next British election, thank God. And in New Zealand, we've got two right-wing parties in the cabinet with the new National Party government. And that trend is happening in Australia. If you go back to the 1970s, about 2% of Australians didn't vote for Labor or Liberal. Okay. Forgetting the Nationals, which I'll group in with the Liberals. And it's just growing at every election. So it's the Teals, it's the Greens, it's the One Nation, the United Australia Party, Libertarian Party, and others. Now, on the right, well, let's talk about on the left in Australian politics, we've got the Labor Party, and we've got really one party on the left called the Greens. And they're a 10% party. They're a purist party. Pure stupidity, in my view, but they are an ideologically pure party. Now, what they have done is, with their purity, and they win seats in the Senate and the upper house, they also occasionally win a lower house seat. And what that does is, it drags Labor to the left, because Labor thinks, you know, we can't lose our left flank, so we've got to make sure we're not too centrist. And the Greens, so that's why I say the Greens have been the most successful political party in Australia this century. They have dragged Labor to the left, and in the process, they've dragged the stupid Liberals to the left.
Yeah.
Now, what we have over on the right side of Australian politics, we've got the Liberals Nationals. Then we've had about sort of six other little parties. We've had shooters parties, Christians parties, the Clive Palmer parties. But it's really sort of starting to sort of turn into a two-horse race between One Nation and my party, the Libertarian Party. Now, Chris, I have liked Pauline Hanson before she got into Parliament. Do you remember the old Stan Zemanek show, Chris?
Yes, I do.
Yes, yes. So Stan was there on 2UE, and I used to ring up Stan all the time. And we used to, because John Howard disendorsed Pauline as a Liberal Party candidate before the 1996 election.
That's right.
And Stan the man was her biggest supporter. And out of all of his regular callers, I was a big supporter of Pauline. And I was there when she gave her maiden speech. I was sitting in the public gallery directly above her.
Right.
And just by chance, actually. But so I like her. And I think all the things, yeah, that terrible time she went to jail, which was just garbage. And look, she's a fighter. And I think she's basically a very good person.
Mm.
Okay. Now, and I think Malcolm Roberts is terrific. I think Craig Kelly is terrific. But I have put out a lengthy post on Twitter today, which is getting a lot of interest, and it's called The Differences Between Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party and the Libertarian Party. And I've tried to be as fair and balanced as possible, because a lot of people are giving up on the Liberal Party, particularly in light of this censorship thing, and they're saying, look, we need another alternative. I mean, they were sort of saying, oh, we were disappointed with the Perrottet government, we were disappointed with the Scott Morrison government, but maybe things will get better. Well, they're not going to get better. Look at Peter Dutton, loves censorship. Okay, he fails at the simplest test of all.
Yeah.
So I think people are looking at thinking, look, I want to move my vote to another minor party. Which one should it be, One Nation or the Libertarian Party? So I have tried to spell it out. Look, the bottom line is that I would say that the One Nation Party is the best of what the National Party used to be, and the Libertarian Party is the best of what the Liberal Party used to be
when they were
principled parties. Okay. Yeah. And I would say that I'd say One Nation is a common sense party, and I'd say that the Libertarian Party is an ideological party, proudly ideological. Everything we look at every question through the prism of what will reduce the size of the government and what will increase the freedom of the people? And so I'll give you an example where we disagree. Okay, so One Nation does not believe, well, that they are lukewarm on the principle of free trade. They think we should have some tariffs in place. They think we shouldn't trade with certain countries. The libertarians say, well, that doesn't make any sense. We should have free trade with the entire world. And if a country doesn't want to give us free trade agreements, we say, well, you're just hurting yourself. Free trade is good. Now, I know it's tough, but it makes the economy dynamic, and tariffs prop up old, inefficient industries.
And we pay the price.
Product. That's right. So we believe in free trade. Now, another area where One Nation is good on free speech, but I think we're better. And I'll give you a tough example. You're not a real free speech purist until you've dealt with what we call the edge cases, the tough cases. And I'll give an example of a tough case where we have disagreed with One Nation. The libertarians do not believe that the swastika should be banned from public display in Australia. Now, I'm 53, Chris. I've never seen a swastika displayed in Australia, and I've been around politics most of my life in one form or another. I've never seen someone have a swastika at the front of the house, but the lefties want to sort of say, well, let's have legislation to ban the swastika, okay, because they're trying to create the perception that there's this big right-wing, you know, neo-Nazi threat out there. It's all crap. When was the last time there was neo-Nazi violence in this country? There's a lot of left-wing violence, as we're seeing right now. But anyway. But Pauline said, no, we think the state should come in and say that you're not allowed to display that flag. Okay? Well, we disagree. We say it'd be pretty stupid to display that flag, but you'll just have to deal with the consequences of doing that yourself. And we don't want the police knocking on your door saying, you can't display this flag, as distasteful as it is.
Okay, they are really good explanations about the difference between the two parties. And for a lot of people who are watching or listening, they need to actually hear that redefining of the various right-wing parties again. That's excellent. So you can go to your your X account, as we know, the Twitter account, and you can see that very, very large post there now. It's up now, right?
It's up now. 42,000 people have read it, and it was put up at 10 o'clock this morning, so it's going very well. We were happy about that.
Great.
And it's a fair and balanced account. I was thinking, look, if Pauline or Craig or Malcolm Roberts reads this, I want them to think, okay, John Ruddock has fairly spelled out our position on things. And I've gone through free trade, privatisations, free speech, industrial relations, immigration, foreign policy, and a few other little things. So I said, look, this is where this, and I say at the beginning of the post, I said, look, we've got a lot in common. Here's the things we've got in common. But, you know, we are different parties, and this is why, you know, this is the differences. And a lot of people have said, Chris, they've read it, they've said, John, I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much for spelling it out. I think I'm more One Nation. I say, well, that's fine. It would have been a mistake to join the Libertarian Party because you wouldn't have fit it in. So fine, go and join One Nation if you think that's where you are.
Now, listen, could I ask you to stay put for a second, because I still have a couple of issues I want to run by you. And I want to play you something that a Republican congressman who represents California has said in the last few days on lockdowns, which I know you'll like to comment on. We'll do all of that after a quick break right here with John Ruddock on TNT.
When I had my heart event close to 4 years ago, I was at the gym, thought I deserve a coffee, and thought I'll top up with fuel. Ordered a coffee, but while I was pumping fuel, I started to get chest pains. Then it got worse and worse and worse. So then I was leaning on the counter thinking, yeah, something's not quite right. So then I went to wait for the coffee, and that's when it really, really hit. And Joy just, you know, mouthed, do you need an ambulance? And I remember nodding. I wasn't even thinking about a heart attack. I just thought, something is seriously wrong with me here. So when the cardiologist came to see me, she informed me that I'd had what they call a widowmaker heart attack. Bit of a shock when someone says, you know, you nearly died. Everybody should be aware of all the symptoms of a heart attack that women can have that aren't typical of the shoulder pain, the right arm pain. I go to the gym, I do yoga, Pilates, I swim, I go on bike rides, and yet I still had a heart attack. You just don't know, it could be you.
You ever heard of a polyp? Sounds like a rare species of toad. Actually, it's a lump that grows inside me, your bowel. Look, I'm pretty sure if you had a strange lump growing on your forehead, you might get it looked at, right? But when they're growing inside me, nothing, nada. And the polyps I get can lead to Australia's second deadliest cancer. So, until there's a way to make them grow on your face, it's up to you to get me looked at. Got it?
You're listening to Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, John Ruddick, in addition to where you stand as the leader of the Libertarian Party and where the party stands, Mike has sent me something on the chat box on tntradio.live, and Mike says, doesn't John Ruddick's party stand for making drugs legal? No thanks, he says.
Okay, well, I'm glad he raised it. Okay, so I will deal with this issue. Now, we are, our critics call us a pro-drugs party. Now, that is a slur, and it is not true. Now, let's talk about the question of marijuana. Now, there were a lot of kids in the 1960s that smoked marijuana, and a lot of them in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and ever since, okay? It's just what happens. And then we've got to ask ourselves the question, do we want the police to go around and to be so powerful that they can tell you not to smoke that certain substance? Or should we say, well, look, it's probably not good for a lot of people, so therefore, but look, drinking Coca-Cola is not good for you either. Drinking McDonald's isn't good for you either, okay? So if you think it's bad for you, then people are welcome to run a public relations campaign and say, look, don't smoke pot because here's the danger. And people are also welcome to make the case, no, do smoke pot, you know, it's fun, whatever. But the question is not what our view is on whether people should take drugs or whether drugs are good. Our question is, what should we do about it? And do we want the state to be so powerful that they can come in and boss us around with things like smoking pot? Now, when it comes to drugs that make people seriously crazy, like
illicit drugs.
Yeah, well, of course, we're not in favour of that, okay?
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't want to be walking down the street with my family and, you know, some psychopath. I was in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago, Chris. I went to McDonald's at about 11 o'clock at night with a few other people, and, oh, my God, there was this guy there. The police came and got him. The poor bastard. I don't know what the hell he was on, but it looked like he was in absolute hell. Okay, now he wasn't violent, but, I mean, he was so out on the planet Pluto, he could have been capable of anything. So we don't want to legalise that, okay? Now, I know that there's a lot of things in between smoking pot and ice, okay? And it's not clear where we draw the line. But generally speaking, you know, we think that we don't want a government that is that powerful and that much of a busybody that they can knock on your door and say, hey, you're not allowed to smoke that or you're going to jail.
Okay, got it right. Now, I want to play something for you which I think you'll enjoy. I began the program yesterday summing up some of the lucky dip decisions being made in both Australia and New Zealand on the subject of vaccine mandates. And it's just such a potluck scenario at the moment. It depends on which judge you get and where. But we don't talk too much about lockdowns anymore. Well, we're going to hear something from the US Congressman Tom McClintock, who actually raised in the last 5 days, the terrible days of government control when we had to be locked down. The Republican for California reminded this inquiry of what was lost and what should never be contemplated again. Here, have a listen to this.
We knew from the beginning that young people were virtually unaffected by this disease, and we knew that the elderly were at extreme risk. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed the schools and force infected patients into nursing homes. We knew from the beginning that obesity was a major contributing factor to the severity of the disease. And what did these leftists do? They closed the gyms and left the liquor stores open. We knew from the beginning that outdoor transmissions were very rare and that 80% of the infections occurred in people's homes. So what did these leftists do? They closed the parks and beaches and force people into their homes. You know, Sweden never closed its schools, never closed its businesses, never required masks or vaccines. They trusted their citizens to make these decisions for themselves. The United States, unfortunately, imposed all of these mandates in the states controlled by the Democrats. And here's the result. The United States has suffered 3,600 deaths per million from COVID. Sweden suffered 2,600 deaths per million. So let me put it another way. If we had followed Sweden's policies and had Sweden's results, 340,000 more Americans would be alive today. And that doesn't include the millions of additional excess deaths that these policies caused from suicides, drug and alcohol-related deaths, deaths caused by delayed health screenings and deferred health treatments. It is heartbreaking and sickening to think about the butcher's bill from all of this folly. Ms. Goodwin is dead wrong. These policies didn't save lives, they cost lives, hundreds of thousands of lives. And the foolish people responsible for this carnage have yet to be held accountable. I understand why they don't want to answer for the decisions that they advocated, imposed, defended, enforced, and still defend today. But it's time we acknowledge the damage that they did and take steps to assure that they can never do it again. Our Constitution was supposed to protect us from such people, and this time it didn't.
Your reaction, John Ruddick?
Well, he's a brilliant man, and I'm very, very grateful that he's keeping up the fight. We do not want to sweep the COVID mania under the carpet, which is what they want to do. The corporate media wants to do it, and the major parties want to do it. Now, thank God they've got a few good people there in the Republican Party in America. One of the best things that can happen, Chris, if Trump does win this year, is that he can then have a really serious, massive COVID inquiry. Mm. They don't call it a Royal Commission, but they had these big. They had a big one after JFK's assassination, the Warren Commission. They had a big one after the 9/11 thing, you know, about a 1,000-page report, looked into all parts of it, you know, as rigorous as possible. Now, we need, and of course they did one after silly January the 6th, a little, you know, a silly little mob got out of control for a short period of time. But we haven't had one about COVID, you know, where the government locked us in our homes, forced us to take medications, or most of us, and, you know, all the garbage. Everything Tom McClintock said is right. Sweden got it right. So now, hopefully, Trump will do that. Now, Trump was, a lot of people in the Libertarian Party in America are critical of Trump. They say, well, he was the president when we did all this craziness. Look, poor old Trump, he didn't, you know, he had this whole hysteria, this tsunami overtaken him. He was always sort of 50-50 about it. And yeah. I really believe they pumped it up to undermine Trump, to create the sense of crisis. And it worked.
Mm. That's a good theory. And it certainly looked that way. He was pushing against the tide the whole time. I want to raise a couple of other things. Something more local, John, if I may. Almost $1 billion will be allocated for leave grants for women who want to flee a violent home. The recent stats about DV attacks have been atrocious, especially the last 18 months. What's your reaction to yesterday's big announcement? Is it big enough? Is it practical? Will it work?
I don't support the program, Chris.
Right.
Now, what has happened is there is no dispute about this, that across the Western world and in Australia, homicides, assaults, robberies, they have all at least halved in the last 20 years. That's a fact, okay? The city of Rome used to have 1 million people, so it's one-fifth the size of Sydney, and they used to have 200 murders a day when Rome had its most civilized peak. Okay, so that would be the equivalent in Sydney with 5 million people, that would be equivalent to 1,000 murders a day.
But we're now seeing women in Australia die every 4 days.
Well, look, there's been a statistical blip, okay? Now, I know it's the worst thing that's ever happened in the world to the poor families, okay? But, I mean, I think that we've got to be careful that we don't say that this is a dreadful crisis and, you know, men are terrible, terrible people all the time, when the truth is we should be saying, look, we've been doing something right in the last 20 years. The reason why the crime has been dropping over the last 20 years is basically we've, up until the last sort of 5 to 10 years, we've had good economic policies and we've had good economic growth. And people go and sort of get themselves involved in fights and domestic situations. Usually there's a money problem, you know, and when there's poverty, people are more likely to react poorly like this.
Mm.
So, of course, all these protests last week, they're saying, Albo, you've got to do more, you've got to do more. In other words, Albo, we want money, 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 money. And where's
more handouts.
Money going to go? Where's most of that money going to go, Chris? I'll tell you where most of it's going to go. Bureaucrats. Bureaucrats who are going to manage things and keep an eye on things, okay? They just wanted to get pay rises for themselves. So So look, no, I don't think it's a crisis. I think it's a beat up. I think what happened to Albo the other day at the front of Parliament House was a beat up. Okay, I heard what that lady, that young girl that introduced him for 2 minutes before he spoke. I mean, she was pretty out there.
Okay? Yeah, she was.
And she burst out crying, and I don't think it was fair to Albo. There's a million reasons to attack Albo. That wasn't one of them. But, of course, who piled onto him? His mate of the ABC, the Sydney Morning Herald.
Yes. Yeah, they certainly did. They turned on him big time. I thought it was a beat up as well, but it does show, even before he got himself in strife, it does show that he was being booed as soon as he got to the stage, John. And I think at the moment Anthony Albanese is very much on the nose. I've just run out of time. I'm 30 seconds away from our news bulletin.
Yep.
Thank you for your extended attention today. Thank you for your insight. Much appreciated.
Okay, mate. Good on you. Thanks, Chris.
Good on you. The leader of the New South Wales Libertarian Party, that is the Honourable John Ruddick, MLC, who we love having on the program on Thursday. He speaks a great deal of common sense, and today he has defined where the Libertarian Party stand on a number of issues, including drugs, as asked by one of our viewers. Let's take a break for news. Plenty more coming on the program. Do not go away. This is Chris Smith on TNT.